welcome you into another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptaw, C70 at the bat, at C70 on Twitter. With me, as always, Tara Wellman from Birds on the Black, and at Tara Wellman on the Twitters. We've got a real trade to talk about this week. It's just crazy. The Cardinals have given us news, and I don't know really what to do with it. And then we have rumor news, which is a little bit interesting to talk to about as well. But Tara, we actually have movement, a 40-man roster trade that, wow, when was the last time you saw the Cardinals trade major league talent for minor league talent?
First of all, I think we should call this episode the Don't At Me episode, just for the sake of my Twitter mentions, which have been a disaster for the last 2 days.
Yes, because people listen to that so much.
Yeah, that doesn't ever work well. But you're right. An interesting couple of days, an interesting week with some of the stuff building. And the trade that we do actually have to talk about is an interesting one in a lot of respects. And part of it is because it's not just a minor league player swap like we've seen at times with the Cardinals. It's actually legitimate major league players for a superstar in the making, or at least the possibility of one, in a top 100, if not top 50 minor league prospect, which is exciting in its own right. The question quickly became, how does this make the Cardinals better for 2020? And the reality is it kind of doesn't, except that it can, in some respect, remove some of the lack of clarity as far as the outfield is concerned. So Matthew Liberatore, from all that we have seen and read at this point, is going to be an exciting player to watch. And it does really fill a bit of a hole that the Cardinals have down that far on the pitching ladder in the minor leagues. So that's exciting. I think that it's an exciting trade, even though it sort of left us all scratching our heads a little bit when it was finally announced, because there was such a delay that I think we all felt like there had to be more to it, right? And then it was pretty straightforward. So exciting to get a prospect of that caliber. Of course, the flip side is Jose Martinez has been such a bright light for this team, and it's sad to see him not going to be with the team, not in the dugout, not part of the bench mafia, and of course to not see what Randy Arozarena is going to blossom into. But I think really it was the best scenario for Martinez, in that we've talked about this before, he just doesn't fit on this roster. He didn't really fit on this roster last year. He just ended up with a bunch of playing time because, well, other guys didn't hit. And so he ended up playing pretty significant time, especially when Ozuna went down. So a good move in that respect for him to get a chance to contribute in probably a more effective way.
Yes, the Cardinals actually traded their best offensive weapon in the NLCS. Yeah. From last year.
Nonetheless.
yeah, that's because he got like two hits, I think, and that's enough. Yeah, and then I guess one good thing is that they're traded to the AL East, so they're an hour ahead of us. If you get the MLB package, MLB TV package, maybe you can watch an hour of Tampa Bay baseball before turning on the Cardinals, if you want to see Jose and Randy. It is tough to lose a guy like Jose Martinez. Like you said, it makes a lot of sense. There's not a really good place to put him, but as much as he did, especially this season, getting tied into the fan base with the coffee and with everything like that, with the personality that he had, you hated to see that happen. But it really had to happen. I mean, if you're going to free up that logjam and be really serious about that, being a little bit more flexible with this club, with what you have and the different options. I mean, we know Jose Martinez can hit off the bench some, and that's about all you want. And that's a tough thing to carry. Even with rosters expanding, that's a bit of a tough thing to carry. So he gets to go to a place with a play and, get a DH, and hopefully it looks like, they're looking at maybe even a platooning him, letting him hit against lefties, and probably getting a little bit more time here and there. So hopefully that works out for him. And Randy Arozarena could really blossom out there. He probably wasn't going to have that chance here with 1,800 people ahead of him. So, I think you and I, and especially you, have talked for years about the Cardinals taking some of the surplus, whether it's pitching or outfielders, and making something of it. And they finally have, instead of just letting it wither away or letting it, just kind of be cut or some sort of tossed in here and there, they took some of this and got a really good prospect back in Liberatore. And that could be, it doesn't sound like he's an ace potential, but he's really close to that. I mean, he's like a number two starter. I mean, you put him with Jack Flaherty here in a few years, and some more, maybe the guys that they have, that could be really, really potent. And it's exciting. Like you said, it's exciting to see the Cardinals getting somebody from the top 100 prospects instead of sending them away.
Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals don't often have the high draft picks to get those guys right away, right? Mm-hmm. So they have to develop mm-hmm. them. They have to take a guy from the 13th round and turn him into a superstar. And that's a lot less common. It's not impossible. And we've seen it happen in St. Louis. We've seen it happen other places. But to have Liberatore as somebody that, all of baseball, as far as prospect analysis goes, looks at and says, yeah, this kid's going to be a difference maker. To have that in your organization is something that the Cardinals haven't had in a really long time, especially on the pitching front. And man, they've developed some really successful pitchers over the years. That's a thing that they've become known for, but not necessarily because they came into the system as a prospect ranked in the top 100 or whatever it might be. So it's a different kind of move for them than we've seen in recent past, as far as, maybe trading off some of that surplus for something that you go, that was your big move? Oh, okay. Instead, this is kind of like, oh yeah, all right. Now it makes sense that this is a move you're doing to try to clear up some of that clutter on the roster as it currently exists and make yourself better for the future as well.
Yeah, this is a little bit better than sending Jag to Texas for cash.
Which is kind of way we felt. But...
yeah. Although, I don't know that they got enough back that it actually was noticeable, but who knows?
That's how they're going to pay Nolan Arenado, is with the cash they got from Jag.
don't just jump ahead now. Sorry. You can't be just jumping right in the middle of another conversation, because then you know how I get off on the tangent and we'll never come back.
Continue.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get there. Now, see, I've lost it. I'm gone. Now you got me thinking about Nolan Arenado. It is. It very much is. But anyway, again, we get to see, and you're right. I think it does make, if you're looking at what it does for 2020, it only works if somebody like Tyler O'Neill or Dylan Carlson, somebody like that can get more playing time than they would have and produce, because obviously it didn't bring back an asset that will help this team this year. There's still a lot of people. It's funny, we're starting to think about it and we look at this, outfield, you still have Harrison Bader, you still have Dexter Fowler, you have Tyler O'Neill, you have Lane Thomas, and you've got Tommy Edman that can play out there. And I know I'm still missing one. And then there's, Carlson coming up. That's still a lot of bodies out there, but at least it frees up a few more at bats, especially in the spring, to let them figure out who's going to be that guy that's going to take over, assuming it's not Marcell Ozuna, which we could talk about if we wanted to, but I think we've done that enough. It gives them a chance to see, who can take on that on. Because if Tyler O'Neill can play like he did in July, and you've given him a chance to actually play with this kind of deal, then that's a win now and a win later.
Yeah, I mean, an open competition is great, assuming that there are enough at-bats like that exist to give all of those guys a fair shake at the competition. So it's one thing to say, we want to see what these young guys can do. It's another thing to clear up the actual opportunities they need to show you what they can do. And having 18 guys who can play three spots in the outfield isn't going to give you that chance. So yeah, I mean, this is, it's, I keep calling it clarity, not necessarily because it gives clarity on who those starters or who the fourth outfielder or whomever it is that's going to make the roster as an outfielder out of spring training. Not because we know the answer to that question yet, but because it narrows the field enough that you can actually pay real attention to each of those other guys, or at least it more effectively than you would before, to see what they can bring to the table. Plus, competition is great, but it's not, I don't think it's helpful if you feel like it doesn't matter what you do, you're still not going to get noticed just because there's so many other guys. So this maybe makes that competition a little bit healthier, a little bit more effective in the fact that they feel like, okay, I see everyone else who's here. I gotta do me. I gotta put my best in. I gotta show up in the best shape of my life, or whatever it is that you want to make part of that spring training competition. But they're also not going to be so overwhelmed by the sheer number of guys they're competing against that you may not get the best out of those players anyway. So yeah, I mean, like I said, overall, sure, sad to see Jose Martinez go. We may down the road think, oh, it would have been nice to have Randy Rosarena in the Cardinals outfield, but you know, that's that's how you have to move some of these pieces in order to get good value in return, and at least at this point it seems like that's what they did.
Yeah, and obviously Tampa Bay always needs a former Cardinal outfielder, right. And being that they traded Tommy Pham off, they had to go get a replacement. You know, I'm glad the Cardinals are able to oblige. I just don't know how well along this pipeline is going to be able to keep working. But, well, you know, if they want to keep tossing out, you know, top 100 draft pay or prospects to us, I'm sure the Cardinals can find an outfielder or two to send to them.
Or they'll just make somebody into an outfielder and be like, no, really. He could totally play the outfield.
Exactly. Yeah, everybody plays the outfield. I mean, Yadier Molina can play the outfield. If you, anyway.
As long as he doesn't have to move, just hit a pop fly right to him, you're good.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to get a team that hits a lot of ground balls, then you can put Yadi out in the outfield. But as you said, the trade was weird because you found out the minor league piece coming from Tampa Bay to St. Louis, and that was how we found out about the trade. And then it took 2 hours later to find out the major leaguers that were going over to Tampa Bay to complete it. And in that time period, as you well know, Twitter went nuts.
What? No.
Yeah. Well, Twitter, in theory, Twitter can't go nuts because it always is nuts.
It exists
but
in that state all the time.
That's right. That's right. But it got a little bit of more of a kick in that kind of thing, trying to figure out what was going to happen and why there was a delay. And this, of course, led to they're going to flip Libertor to Colorado for Nolan Arenado. While I don't know, obviously that wasn't accurate because Nolan Arenado is still on the Rockies, as far as I know. That does not mean that the fire around the Colorado third baseman, or the smoke at least, has subsided at all. And in fact, seems to have gotten a little bit stronger, as we saw an article today by John Paul Morosi that, you know, the Cardinals are, as the headline says, emerging in Arenado talks. Take all that for what it's worth, but it does feel like the two teams are talking, and there's a lot more to this idea than I think we thought last week, week before last, when it felt like, well, it feels like it's gone from a whole bunch of fans saying, wow, they should do this, to people that can actually make this happen talking about it. And that's interesting to think about.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting to think about. The world has gone crazy trying to put together what a package from the Cardinals would have to be to get Nolan Arenado. And conversely, the other half of the world has gone crazy trying to figure out how you appropriately value the Nolan Arenado contract with all the opt-outs in order to determine what level of talent you would have to send or that you should send reasonably in a trade for Nolan Arenado. So it's been a weird couple of days. Anything that you say about it turns into a dramatic argument. Maybe that's just me. Maybe everyone else is perfectly fine and enjoying the conversations that they're having about this. I hope that they all appreciate that. But nonetheless, it's been fascinating to see how this whole conversation has developed, because you're right, it's been sort of a pipe dream for years, in part because the Cardinals have expressed interest directly or indirectly over the last few years. I mean, last offseason, Derek Gould reported consistently that if there was a guy out there, a major player, a superstar, if you will, that the Cardinals had their eyes on, or that had they had sort of targeted as this would be our guy, it was always Nolan Arenado. So the contract extension with the Rockies may have complicated that a bit, but then this offseason came and the Rockies didn't do anything to get any better. And we were talking before we started recording the show. I wouldn't find it entirely impossible to assume that Arenado went to the Rockies and basically said, look, if you're not going to try, I'd like to go somewhere else, please. Mm. And whether that's how it developed or not, here we are. All of a sudden, the Rockies have at least made it known enough to teams that they're willing to listen to offers that they're getting them and people are reporting on them to some degree. It's always tricky to figure out how to parse this information appropriately, right? Because anyone who quotes a source that's anonymous because it's a scout or it's because it's, you know, somebody from the organization that drops a few, you know, nuggets to somebody to throw it out there to see what it's, anyway, whatever it is, this whole process is very convoluted and strange to me as far as how these pieces of information get to the public or get to the reporters who then make them public. But it's, I was listening to the latest Best Podcast in Baseball the other day, and there was a great conversation with Ben Fredrickson and Derek Gould about how this trade discussion process actually goes and how informal it all really is. In fact, Derek Gould basically said, to some degree, this stuff happens in text messages, like with shorthand and emojis. That's how informal it can be sometimes, as far as like, hey, so just checking in for the 400th time on Nolan Arenado. You ready to move him yet? Nope, not ready yet. Wait a second. I heard you are. Let's talk about what you want here. So it's far less formal than I think a lot of us sort of imagine it to be as far as making an offer, or what I think the Morrissey article used the term preliminary trade talks. What does it even mean, right? I don't think it means like the Cardinals and the Rockies spoke for the first time today about Nolan Arenado. It may just mean that all of a sudden someone let it be known to the public that they're actually throwing names around, not just saying, yeah, we're still here. We're still interested in Nolan if you want to move him. And that's how you end up with all the buzz of the last couple of days. So I don't know. I mean, it's certainly exciting to think about. It's not so exciting when you start to see some of the packages that people are putting together and you think about all the, not just talent and depth, but the controlled contracts that the Cardinals would move potentially in order to get Nolan Arenado to St. Louis. But it's fun to talk about, right? I mean, it's been a pretty boring offseason up until now, and the last couple of days have been anything but boring.
Yeah, this is definitely true. It's like the Cardinals made a New Year's resolution to be more interesting and they're actually following through. Well, it's like any January, you know, you say you're going to go to the gym that first week, man, you're there every day. It's what you are at the end of January, whether you can really keep it or not. But so, you know, if Nolan Arenado is not in town by spring training, then maybe that resolution just went out the window. I don't know. But hopefully not. Yeah, let's see. What was the package that the guy from Chicago said that he had heard? It was Dakota Hudson, Carlos Martinez, Tyler O'Neill, and Matthew Liberatore, I believe, for Erner Arenado, that might have been what the Rockies asked for to start. But there was absolutely no way John Mozeliak was going to do that. And again, I don't think that any of those parts are off limits.
Right.
I just don't think they're going to put all of their eggs in that basket. I think, you know, Rusty Grapple has pointed out a number of times, you know, what it took to get Giancarlo Stanton, what the Yankees had to give up. And Arenado's in a similar situation. He hasn't really, as far as we know, put the Rockies' feet to the fire about trying to make a trade. And so they may have a little bit more leverage, but you know, what Stanton required was, you know, would not be any of the top, you know, so it's kind of a lower level package. And that's partly, as you say, with that to opt out of 2 years from now, it's hard for the Rockies to get full value. And the fact that it's $200 something million, that kind of tempers down on any excess cost, any excess value, I guess. But, you know, I think that, I don't know. I mean, if you were going to put odds on it actually happening before the end of spring training, what would you give it if to say that Arenado comes to St. Louis? Gosh.
It's so weird. I don't even know how to put numbers to that because it's so far out of the comfort zone for the Cardinals. But also, like, if they determine that they want a player, they're willing to go all in. It's just, we don't often see them make that determination. So, I mean, I don't know that I would say there's more than a 50% chance at this point, but I think that there is a chance. And it's more than, say, like 15%, somewhere in that range, as far as the chances that he ends up in St. Louis. But it's such a complicated conversation for me, in part because, look, I've been one to harp on the Cardinals often for overvaluing their own talent in light of how the rest of the league values their talent. So let me just preface this by saying this isn't because I think that Dakota Hudson or Carlos Martinez or Tyler O'Neill or even Matthew Liberatore is some like otherworldly talent that is deserving of more credit than they're being get. Like, that's not where I'm coming from with it. I think any one of those pieces is fine to move. And any one of those pieces, look, you can either talk up their talent or you can talk down their talent, right? You can look at Carlos Martinez and say, yes, he's spent basically a year split between two seasons struggling to get healthy. And there are some question marks about whether he's going to be a starter or a reliever based on the status of his shoulder, if nothing else. You can say that, but you can also say he's one of the top pitchers in baseball when he's healthy. I mean, if you look at 2015 to 2017, which are the 3 years where he was full-time starter in St. Louis, there are only 10 pitchers in all of baseball that threw more innings than Carlos Martinez did. None of them were Cardinals, so he was the best starter the Cardinals had for 3 years. And that list also didn't include the likes of Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole and Madison Bumgarner. Like, he's a legit starting pitcher with the possibility of, at his ceiling, being the ace type guy. And we know that there have been complications to that. We know that it's been a struggle to get him there consistently, but that potential still exists. So you can talk down the talent and the possibility and the promise of Carlos Martinez by saying, yeah, but he's inconsistent. Yeah, but he hasn't been super healthy. Yeah, but we don't know what he's going to be, whether he's a starter or a reliever. But you can also talk it up on the flip side of that, and both arguments be accurate. So when you look at a package like that, it's not, and if I say, oh, I think that's too much, it's not because I'm only looking at glass half full versions of those players. I promise you, I understand the complicated nature of breaking down where that value lies. But you also have to take into consideration their contracts, right? How much money are the Cardinals paying them? How long are they under team control? For most of them, it's like at least another 4 years of those guys that were mentioned, if not longer than that. And for a guy who has an opt-out after 2 years, which those opt-outs exist so that if he comes to St. Louis and is lights out for 2 years, he can opt out and get paid again, right? It doesn't exist so that he can be like, you know what? This is a situation that I'm just not happy with, even though everything's fine. And I'm going to go take less money. So it's, even if he's not the reason that that opt-out exists, it still makes it more of a risk for the team that's taking it on, right? Because you're not getting the full contract value of Nolan Arenado. You're getting 2 years guaranteed. In some respects, similar conversation to Paul Goldschmidt, right? You're not getting him long-term, but you hope that you can negotiate your way out of that. Some people believe that they could negotiate their way out of the opt-outs with Nolan Arenado. But the only way to do that is to add that value back into the contract in some other way, right? Another year, more money, whatever that is. And that seems to be a sticking point for the Cardinals in most of these conversations. I know I'm rambling and I'm going on and on, but that's because this is far more complicated a conversation than just comparing the talent you're getting in Nolan Arenado versus the talent you're giving up in Dakota Hudson and Carlos Martinez and Tyler O'Neill or whomever it is. And the last thing I want to say, and then I'm going to stop talking and let you respond, is that in some respects, you also have to consider Jose Martinez and Randy Arozarena and the compensation pick in this whole conversation as the total cost of Nolan Arenado, right? Because the only way, if Matthew Liberatore is the straw that breaks the camel's back, the only way you got him was giving up those other pieces as well. So it's just a massive amount of depth as well as team control in the contracts that you're giving up for a very high risk opportunity at Nolan Arenado for 2 years. And I'm not even saying that it would absolutely 100% not work out. It just feels like you're creating a whole other problem by solving one problem, especially if Hudson and Carlos Martinez, in fact, start this season. Because then, I mean, you're taking 40% out of your starting rotation without getting anything in return to replace it. That's a tough scenario to try to create for yourself. That's it.
Yes.
I'm done.
Yes, it is. I just checked. Just checking. Not that I can disagree with anything that you said, but
you can, though, pretty much everyone else has.
No, I mean, I think you're right on that. I mean, I think exactly right on a lot of that. You know, I do think that, I mean, if I was to put my odds, as I think that's the question I asked a while back, I would probably put my odds closer to 50-50 just because I feel like this is starting to feel like that perfect storm situation that's going to work out for the Cardinals. But I don't know. Again, I wouldn't guarantee, wouldn't have any idea who is going to go back. I don't know if it's a, you know, and it's very likely that even if everything goes well, you know, there's going to be some disappointment with Nolan Arenado if he comes to St. Louis. I mean, not necessarily in 2020 or 2021, but if he stays long term, at some point in time, people are going to say, well, I wish we hadn't have done this or done that. And that's people, because people are never happy. I'm just thinking that we have complained enough about the front office not doing anything. Even after Paul Goldschmidt last year, we were kind of similarly saying, well, it kind of just sent spare parts for, you know, a very good guy, but, you know, that's not really a step out. Yeah. You know, you're trading a guy in Carson Kelly that's not going to ever play in St. Louis because no catcher again is ever going to play in St. Louis.
By the way, I just listened to a podcast with Luke Weaver. It was from months ago. I just got around to listening to it now. And he was asked about the trade and Carson Kelly was pumped to not play behind Yachty anymore. Continue.
He had to be. I mean, Andrew Kisner may serve as the same fate. I mean, the Cardinals got a guy, an 18-year-old guy that might be a catcher. He's catching right now from Tampa Bay and Edgardo Rodriguez. And he may not play in St. Louis because, you know, it's Yadier Molina.
If he's
Molina.
Not 12, but, he doesn't have a shot.
That's right. That's right. I mean, Yachty's holding this down until Yachty Jr. is going to get the job. Yeah. I mean, it's like an inherited position from now on. I think that's the way this works. But, you know, still, it wasn't this risky move. Stanton felt like a risky move, but of course, you know, didn't actually get done because it's a no trade. So I feel like if they go out and get Nolan Arenado, and depending on what they do with it, I'm not saying that you can't criticize what they give up, but I also think we have to give them, you know, credit for actually making these sort of moves. And to get a guy, you know, who is, I think, what, 28? Isn't that right? Isn't that where Arenado is?
I believe so. I actually don't know that.
Off the top of my head. I think he's... I should know this, but anyway, he's right about that. I can't remember if he's 28 or 29. And still having some good years left. I mean, we're not saying that he's at the very beginning of his prime, but he's not Paul Goldschmidt, who's 30 or 31 when you trade for him, and then extend him for 5 years. So it would be a nice signature move for this front office, and I think it would not shut up fans, but it should shut up fans to some degree, of complaining that they never do anything and then they don't go out and spend money and they don't do this and that and the other. It's kind of everything all at once here would be taken care of. And I mean, I know that you worry about the roads. I've heard that people actually look at home and road splits. But even, I think even at Nolan Arredondo at road levels, you take that out over the whole year, I think we would be happy with that.
I'm pretty sure given what we have had. Even if you just look at his road numbers, either the highest or the second highest OPS of the Cardinals actual roster in 2019. So,
right.
I think it'd be fine.
Yeah. I mean, and then you factor that out over, you know, he had 20 something home runs on the road last year. You know, factor all that. He's going to play in different ballparks and things of that nature. Well, you know, who knows? There's a lot of different things, but I think it boils down to this guy's very good. And if you can get a very good player to come play for your team, you should probably try to do that. And it feels like the Cardinals are trying to. So, you know, winter warmup is coming up this weekend. Do I think Nolan Arenado is going to be signing autographs this weekend? Probably not. But you know, it's starting to build to enough smoke that, you know, these things don't always happen, but it feels like the Cardinals are motivated to make it happen and the Rockies are open to making it happen. And if that's the case, things often happen. That's, you know, that's just what I'm feeling. But again, it's going to be a price that probably hurts. It's going to be a part of that trade that's going to hurt. It's going to really kind of stink if Nolan Gorman's part of that trade now that he just got his best friend in Libertor into the system.
So they've been interviewed about it like 17 times in the last 2 days.
Yeah, you got to figure Mo's sitting up there going, "Ooh, yeah. can we soft pedal that just a little bit?" But maybe it doesn't take, you know, and maybe it doesn't take Gorman.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're talking about 2 years on a guy, you can legitimately come to the Rockies and say, look, if this guy is going to be here for just 2 years, we're not giving up the guy that could be replacing him. You know, how well that works, I don't know when you get into the discussions, but at least you've got that, you know, a stepping point. So, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. I think that this, again, has given us something interesting to talk about in the winter, which is more than we could say for the last couple of years, except for, you know, the they've always done the Ozuna and the Goldschmidt stuff was early on, and then you just spent forever kind of waiting. This time they did all the waiting at the beginning, and now we've got at least some sort of stuff to get us through these last little bit of the winter before spring training comes around. And you got to give them credit for that much, at least. You know, maybe they're looking out for their fans after all.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to be clear. Like, I very much would enjoy watching Nolan Arenado. I don't want to get it twisted in any regard that I think the Cardinals should not try to bring Nolan Arenado to St. Louis. I do. I just think the calculations for how you come up with the appropriate value to trade in response are more complicated than just give them whatever they want. It's Nolan Arenado. Right. So, right. And the one other piece of this is they could have had Anthony Rendon just for cash. So, like, it's just this weird dynamic, right, with the Cardinals front office, and it always has been. We mentioned earlier, they find a guy that they like, and they're willing to do something that borders on stupid to get him there. But if it's not their guy, they're just not even interested a little bit, which seems strange to me, but it is who they are and how they've done their business. And it may not be that foreign a concept. Maybe other teams and front offices are the same way, but it does make a conversation like this interesting when there didn't seem to be any interest in a guy who is comparable. Some people would argue better at the position that he plays and with the boost that he would add. And again, I know they've talked about payroll and they've talked about all these things, but come on, you can trade a bunch of pieces for Nolan Arenado and maybe Colorado has to pay down some of that salary, but you're still taking on a massive contract. at least under the idea that you can keep him in St. Louis for more than 2 years. So there's going to be money involved either way. It's just a matter of Arenado's been their guy. And at this point, it appears that he still is.
And I think, though, not only is Arenado their guy, but I feel like, and maybe I said this on Mutual, I can't remember, but I feel like the Cardinals, for all the things that they value cost certainty more than anything. And the cost of Nolan Arenado for payroll purposes is known. I mean, you know the upper level. You're going to pay him whatever that contract is. And at best, you know, you hopefully you can bring it down and stuff like that, but you know it's not going any higher. And you don't have to worry about some idiot team coming in at the last minute and using your offer to, you know, get there, you know, to jump you or whatever the case may be, which is what, you know, obviously David Price, exactly. Or go back farther enough to maybe Albert Pujols too as well. You know, Albert could probably be a Cardinal if it wasn't for Anaheim coming in and just kind of going well over the top. So you don't have to worry about all that. You control the cost, and you control the whole negotiation more than you do. Now, again, if the Rockies also have other teams that they're talking to, but it feels like there's much more of a controlled situation for the Cardinals here. And I think they like that better. I don't think they wanted to get into a bidding war and feel like they needed to get, you know, Rendon and, you know, not really knowing what that was going to do or how we were going, you know, if we get him for 30 million, we can do this, but if we have to go 35, then what are we going to do? And I think they just like the fact that I think this contract extension honestly played into their hands for Arenado is that they know what that top level is and we can, you know, get it lower and, you know, they can make all their budgets and all their projections and they know exactly what they can do. So I think that besides the fact that they have some sort of, you know, personal attachment, it may be the biggest reason that they just ignored Rendon, but are going after a guy that is similar, even if maybe not as quite as good.
Yeah. Yeah. And all of that certainly comes into play. I think it's been fascinating watching the reactions to these rumors and to the possibility because, man, are there extremes on Arenado and how you value that contract. There are people who, you mentioned Rusty Grapple, who is very insistent that you don't have to give up a Matthew Liberatore or a Nolan Gorman to get him based on the comps of other deals in the past. There are other people who looked at the players involved in that rumor the other day, who also said, if you don't add Nolan Gorman to that, they're not even going to listen, right? So it's just so wild to me because it's such an unknown with how that value is really determined between those two teams. And that's, you know, that's what makes it interesting.
Yeah. Yep. And it definitely has made it interesting for us so far. So, and hopefully it'll make it interesting for a little bit longer this off season. And, you know, as you said, you heard John Mozeliak today on the radio, and he did not completely shut everything down, which John Mozeliak has been known to do. So maybe we've got another week or two of discussion over out of this, or maybe we'll have a whole lot of season to talk about it as they'll get the actual move done. More frustratingly, it'll be that they probably won't make the deal to the trade deadline, and that would just be iron trading. So hopefully that's not the case. Tara, is there anything else we need to, I feel like we've hit the major topics of the week, but is there anything I'm forgetting?
I think that about covers it at this point.
All right. Well, then we will be back with you next week. We'll probably talk about Nolan Arenado again, because this is going to be like Bryce Harper of last year. But we'll also talk about whatever come out of winter warmup, because next Sunday will be 2 days down of the warm-up, and I'm sure we'll have some quotes or somebody with, I mean, I expect Tara to be on the hair beat. And I know I saw a interesting haircut for Harrison Bader. So we'll see if there's some other ones that are worth discussing.
Carlos Martinez shaved all of his hair off.
Well, then very interesting to see what color he dyes his skull then.
Actually, I also will likely be at the Cardinals Caravan event in Peoria this week as well. So hopefully there'll be some interesting notes to come out of that.
That will be, hopefully so.
Assuming and
hopefully
those guys don't all get traded before then.
Well, that could be some interesting notes, I guess. Yes, and hopefully the weather behaves, because I know winter warm-up weekend is not always the best for those caravans and for St. Louis, but hopefully it will. So anyway, until next week, that is Tara. I'm Daniel. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.